I hate it. I hate Halloween.
Just stop.
Why say it again?
There's no way you hate. You hate scary Halloween, or you hate Halloween?
Yeah, I hate Halloween. I hate. First of all, I hate all the crap that they put in my neighborhood. I hate the white sort of spider web crap on all the bushes and trees and stuff. There's a house up the street that's got this gigantic spider web and spiders that are like 3 feet in size climbing on it. There's a house I drive by every day that has got like all these dog skeletons.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've pushed this too far. And then scary movies I hate, like Halloween. I mentioned this yesterday, but I was going to have somebody on my podcast from the movie Halloween. They said, do you need a screener? I'm like, no. Guy stabs people. That's pretty much the summary of Halloween. Scary movies I don't do. I don't do The Conjuring.
I don't do scary movies either.
I'm just
like,
not into
literally,
that anymore.
When I go to movies and there's a preview of a scary movie, I say, Nevin, I'm going to close my eyes and plug my ears. Please tell me when it's over. There it is. This is the Halloween I like.
Yeah.
Light and fluffy.
Fun Halloween. Now, Bergman, your feelings on Halloween?
I love Halloween.
Kids going as for Halloween?
So, I mean, going with the creepy thing. So, Riley is going as, there's this thing called Five Nights at Freddy's, and it's this whole weird like horror game that she likes, and she's going as one of the characters.
Mm. Okay.
She thinks, and she calls it cosplay. So, I don't
know.
I don't even know what cosplay is.
What is that?
It's just dressing up like the character.
Dressing up as somebody.
Yeah. All right.
That's all.
It's stupid.
But she loves it. I don't know. I love it, too. I like seeing all the houses like that. I love Nightmare Before Christmas. I know Jorge hates it.
Oh, Nightmare Before Christmas is actually a pretty genius movie.
That's what I said. Genius. Genius, Jorge.
But see, it's part Christmas.
It's part Christmas.
I like Halloween, but not too scary.
Yeah, I mean, that's not scary at all. This is a great movie.
Yeah.
I love this movie. And also,
not too scary Halloween. Like, when I was growing up, we just bought masks at the store and got dressed up for school. We didn't get into all this really terrifying, awesome
stuff. I went to see the Nightmare Before Christmas. Not Nightmare. Is that it? Nightmare Before Christmas?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
I went to see that at the Microsoft or the Nokia or whatever you call that theater right by the station. And they showed the movie, and then the orchestra played the soundtrack live.
Cool.
It was really, really cool. Danny Elfman was there, who wrote all the music.
Yeah.
He conducted the orchestra. It's fantastic.
He's doing that this year at Bank of California.
They're doing the same thing?
Yep, doing the same thing at Bank of California.
Hey, Mace, are you a Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I've been to Rocky Horror Picture Show. I never dressed up like Frankenfurter or any of those.
Did you go up on stage? Did they pull you up on stage?
No, never went up on stage.
And go, virgin. No.
Okay, I'm going to.
No, never. Have you ever done it, Momo?
Yep, and they made me go on the stage.
And who were you?
I went to the New Art. Okay.
Yeah, the New Art still shows it.
Yeah, and it went, and it was me and my friend Christy, and my mom and my aunt took me. And I was probably too young to be brought up on stage like that. Like, I was definitely like 12 or 13. I don't think they should have let me in, but we looked old for our age. And so, like, we went in there and got into it. But that's not scary. Rocky Horror Picture is not scary. It's a fun show. It's like a big, fun dress-up thing, and yeah.
Do you think we could get Ireland says he'll do anything for $100.
I bet he'll do that. It's at the New Art.
Do you think he would dress up as Frankenfurter for $100?
I think he'd do it for $5.
No. You know Frankenfurter, right? He's wearing like a garter and
I think
fishnet
Ireland would
stockings
do
and stuff like that. You really think
Amanda's here. Do you think Ireland would do it?
Yes.
Ireland for sure.
Absolutely. You can come up here, Amanda.
Come over here, Amanda.
Come on, Amanda. Mics are always open.
Yeah. How much do you think it would take to get Ireland to dress up like Frankenfurter?
Hold on. Say that again.
How much would it take to get John Ireland to dress up like Frankenfurter at Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I don't think it would take much.
Five, right? $5, 10 maybe?
I mean.
$100.
No way. I mean, if you offered him 100 first, of course.
Yeah, he'll
say
yes.
Yes, but honestly, yeah, I think $5.
Let's text him.
$10.
Yeah, let's text. I would be fantastic. By the way, somebody is photoshopping right now John Ireland's head on Frankenfurter's body.
That's amazing.
Which is awesome.
Please tweet at us.
So, Amanda, while you're here.
Yes.
When do I get to come in studio and do the show?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I've actually been trying for weeks now. It's above my pay grade.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've got a COVID committee. We've got HR. Oh, wow. You know, we got people.
You know what I think the problem is? You asked permission.
Yeah.
Well, we have to. Unfortunately, this is one where there are several people that have to okay it first.
Yeah. How do you think that afternoon show is?
We have an afternoon show?
Yeah. How do you think it's going?
Oh, I'm just kidding. Who's on it?
Man.
Yeah, it's the one with Kaplan and
and that
George.
Guy, George Sedano.
Dang.
It's the one where George is constantly annoyed by Kaplan.
Dang.
Well, I mean, a lot of us are annoyed by Kaplan.
Yeah. He just doesn't get it, Kaplan.
I mean, you've known him a long time. You've known him longer than most of us.
I've known him for years and years.
Because you guys are all in your 50s, right? So you guys go way back. The rest of us are younger.
Ooh.
Me or him. What are you, taking a generational shot there? taking a shot at people in their 50s?
Back in the Rick D's and the Weekly Top 40.
Hey, Rick D's and the Weekly Top 40. Hey. Hey. There you go. Thank you, Amanda.
Anytime.
Okay. So,
all right. I texted John. Let's see what he says.
Okay. Text John. And somebody photoshopped his head on Frank and
Dang. Sedano's driving around like, whoa, what?
Oh, Scott Kaplan's the one that's especially sensitive.
Sensitive? Oh.
Oh, he's so
Should
sensitive.
I mess with him too?
I'll get a tweet from Kaplan soon after soon. He hears this. Soon.
Will it be a tweet or a text?
It'll be a tweet.
Oh.
Yeah, public. He'll make it public. He'll go public with this.
Dang.
He'll actually talk about it on the show.
They don't have one.
No, they don't have a show today, so they won't talk about it until Thursday.
Oh, he's going to be stewing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, here we go. Tonight, LeBron James has been downgraded from probable to questionable. And he's got the same – I won't say he's the same injury. He's – got an ankle soreness, and it happens to be the same ankle that wrecked his and our season last year. And I have always said that I am okay with rest. I think it is okay for players, especially players like LeBron, who only two players have played more minutes than LeBron, Kareem and Karl Malone. If you have that much mileage on you and you've got a sore ankle, and you've got Russell Westbrook who can run the offense when you're not on the floor, you don't play.
I actually think it would help them. Like, Russell Westbrook needs to play and get comfortable out there. He has not gotten comfortable. The last game, I thought he had a few plays, and you could see the things they were working on. It was not clean yet. But it'll be good for him to be out there with the ball in his hand. I mean, he's still questionable. LeBron's still questionable. Maybe he'll play. I hope he doesn't, because that was a scary injury the other night. Was too similar to the way he got hurt last year. I didn't like it. He stayed down for a long time. He played through it, but that's what you do after you have an injury like that. You have all this adrenaline and you don't feel bad, but it obviously swelled up on him, and he got downgraded to questionable.
We're going into a stretch, by the way. We're at San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Let's call it an average San Antonio team.
Yep.
Average to below average. A terrible Oklahoma City team.
Yep.
Cleveland, who actually I've been surprised by Evan
might
Mobley,
be better.
Who's played really
might
well.
Be better than expected.
Then home to Houston, home to Houston, home to OKC. They're going to come out of this stretch in good shape, even if LeBron sits multiple
games. Anything less than 4-1 is a disappointment in that stretch.
Say what?
Anything less than 4-1 in those five games is a disappointment.
Agreed. They should be 6-3 after this.
Mm-hmm.
6-3 after this would make a lot of sense, because this is a soft underbelly of the schedule. The one thing I noticed the other night, and Momo, you referenced this yesterday, is we started to see the big three come together a little bit because Russell Westbrook, has to find a role where he doesn't have the ball in his hands. And so he has become the screener for LeBron in the pick and roll. And teams have to make a decision whether or not they are going to let their point guard take LeBron, or if somebody's going to need to fight through Westbrook's screen. And I thought that screen and roll started to look really good the other night.
Yeah, I mean, I like LeBron and AD diving to the basket with Russell as a screener, because to me, AD is a cheat code. There's nobody who can stop. I don't know. Name me somebody you think has
nothing.
A good chance at stopping him.
Nobody.
I can't. Maybe
there's not a good matchup for Anthony Davis.
Like maybe Embiid, maybe because he's big. Maybe Bam Adebayo, but I don't know. It didn't work in the finals. So, oh, okay. John has written back.
Okay.
Here is his answer.
Okay.
$100. I would do it for free, but I know Mason would pay me.
He would do it for $100?
He'd do it for free, Mace.
He said, I would do it for free, but I know Mason would pay it.
Okay, now we need to get a Frankenfurter costume because John's going to be in studio later in the week, right?
Right, but he would do it at the show. Like he wouldn't do it just like hanging out in the studio.
You're
free.
On this text chain. You can read
what
my
text.
What are
you saying at the show?
Like at a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
He would do it.
Oh, no, I just want to see John in fishnet stockings. To me, that's just hilarious.
I mean, maybe you do, but I don't think anybody else here wants
no,
to see
but,
that.
No, but to me, that's funny as hell.
It is pretty funny.
But
do
you
he'll
understand?
Do it for 100. He 100 said, bucks is done.
I would do it for free, but I know Mason would pay it. He knows you so well. I said five.
Are you kidding me? John Ireland in fishnet stockings? Tell me that is not.
It's funny.
An online
totally
sensation.
Do it. I mean, I think the Photoshop would be just as good.
No. Doing it for real. Doing it for real. I think he'd rethink it, don't you, when we
nope.
actually
I
give
think
him
John,
fishnet stockings?
I think John does anything you ask. Any bet he cannot say no to. The man licked the bottom of his shoe.
It's true.
For
I've
$10.
I've never heard that story. Can you tell me that story?
I don't know. I just know it pays off with a I licked the
oh,
bottom
I've
of my shoe.
I've never heard the story before, Greg.
It's the first time.
Okay. So do you want to do something really explosive right now?
Okay.
Excuse me. So, Greg, you know this story. Is John listening or is he on the plane?
No,
he was on the text. That's all we know.
Okay. All right. So, at the Kobe game.
Oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. No, don't do it. Don't do it. It's way better this way. No.
You think it's way better this way?
Yes, I do. Let's just leave it as is.
You don't think we should blow the lid off this scandal?
No, this was just between you and I. Yeah, no.
Oh, God, it's so funny.
It is very funny, but I don't want to do that. It's something, he feels really good about it. I know this
he
is really inside
so
baseball
about
right
it.
Now, but it's really, this is just for me and you.
Yeah, it would be like telling him about Santa. Yeah, I guess we'll let it go.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess we'll let it go. Excuse me.
Did you just do is that the Wendy Williams?
Yes, that's the Wendy Williams. The Wendy Williams is classic. Hit it again, Jorge.
How funny is it that I know her by the burp fart? Like, you could play sound of Wendy Williams talking, and I may not be able to, like, recognize the voice. But if you play the burp fart, I know it right away.
Burp fart all the way. All the way. All right. I'm curious from people. You know, we've seen three games from the Lakers.
Yeah.
We've seen the big three on the floor. What do you guys think? I'll tell you one thing I think. Their three-point shooting's pretty damn good.
Well, the last game it was.
Carmelo's money. Bazemore's a good three-point shooter. LeBron had four threes in the last game. Malik Monk had a couple of threes. I mean, if shooting was the issue last year, and I would argue that it was when it came right down to the minute. I mean, injuries, obviously. But we also didn't shoot the three ball. How do you feel about where we are right now? How do you feel about this team?
I feel pretty good. But there's one thing I don't feel good about at all.
Okay, hold that. Hold that. Plus, we'll take some calls. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Still waiting for somebody to Photoshop John's head on the body of Tim Curry as Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Somebody will do that. I'm telling you, I will pay for that costume for John to wear. Just a photo of it is priceless. All right, that's coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, this one gets in your head.
Another one
could
that gets stuck in your head.
Cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in.
What does this thing make you think of? Like, is there a scene in a movie that you think of when you hear this?
It sounds like friggin' Grey's Anatomy.
This is the
part. It's Jim Carrey, and he's.
How many syllables did they turn? I would understand into.
A lot of them.
That's like eight syllables. Understand.
But no, you don't remember Jim Carrey on the ledge where he was like talking someone off playing the guitar to this song?
No. No.
Yes Man and Yes Man? No.
Hey, you know what? You know what? You know what you got to find?
Did you see, by the way, the Photoshop of John Ireland's head on Frankenfurter's body?
Yeah, no, I don't want to see it anymore.
Oh, God,
nobody
it's
needs
funny.
To see that.
It is so
you know what
funny.
It is?
I just retweeted
it's,
it.
It's the smile on his face that does it. It's that grin. It's like he's really liking that outfit.
It looks like he's really having a good time in that picture. John said, by the way, to dress up as Frankenfurter, I may have to add a zero to the 100. It would take 1,000.
Oh, there's another one now, too. Someone else did it, too. This is just going to be a bunch of Frankenfurters with John's face all over the place.
It's classic stuff.
That's what I'm saying. You don't actually need to see John do it because these Photoshops are enough.
They are pretty damn good. We got some creative people out there. Oh, God.
I'm putting
John Ireland,
a
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Classic. All right, so I wanted to do real quick. By the way, anything you want to jump in on the show, 877-710-ESPN. We're just kind of kicking around. You know what I miss? What's really sad to me? Tonight is game one of the World Series.
I know.
We're not in it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you going to watch?
No.
I might watch a little.
I will not watch an inning. I'm rooting for Atlanta to punch
Houston
in the mouth.
Yeah, everyone's rooting for Atlanta. I mean, I like Dusty Baker, but no one's rooting for the Astros.
But I can't bring myself to watch it. We were, you know, talk about being stuck in a moment. I'm stuck in that moment where Dave Roberts didn't pinch hit for Eddie Rosario in game six.
Switching a reliever.
Didn't walk him. Didn't put him on. So painful.
It is painful.
That song. You know, we're playing all songs that get stuck in your head today.
Corey, do the one I just found.
Oh, there's another one?
Oh. Somebody sent this to me on Twitter.
Oh, this one does. I don't know why. It's just one of those songs.
Just forever.
Constantly.
What's this song is called?
Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe.
Hey, I just met you.
I'm literally going to be in my car singing this
now. Oh, here it goes.
There's no choice about it.
Here it is. Here comes the chorus. Hey, I just met you.
Bow, bow.
Crazy.
Bow, bow.
It's my number.
And call me maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
that was
all day, Mace. That's in your head.
That's a.
I give that to you. It is my gift.
Really big one. So they've got a new arena up there in Seattle. I guess it's the same arena that they've always had, but they're playing hockey there now. Is it the same arena that they would
no, it's
intend
brand
to
new.
Have a basketball team, or is it brand new?
Oh, no, okay, so there's a whole debate about that. This is the one that's already built that could be converted for basketball. There's another area where they want to build a brand new one. So one of them's the Tim Leiwicki group, and one's the Chris Hansen group. I don't know which one is which, though.
So, you know, when I go to a ball game,
I'm not sure which
or
one is
I guess when I go to a Kings game or whatever, when I go to a Rams game,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pretty basic. Dodgers, helmet nachos, extra jalapenos.
Yep.
Rams game, they've got these City Link hot dogs.
Yep.
They have a bunch of other stuff where I'm seated. They've got, like, prime rib and all that other stuff. I just eat two hot dogs, two City Link hot dogs.
What do you put on it?
I am a big mustard and onions guy.
Got it.
No ketchup? Yeah.
Never mix it
no
up?
Ketchup.
Never do, like, one way and then the other another
nope.
way? Nope.
Mustard
okay.
and onions.
Got it.
So, but teams have gotten very fancy with their foods now. And the Seattle one may have the fanciest food I've seen in terms of just like, come on, you're eating this at a ball game? So I want to give you an item. You take a guess at how much it costs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is at the new Seattle Kraken's Arena. Prime
Kraken.
Beef.
Kraken.
Kraken. Prime beef dip. Okay, now think about that. You're at a game. You're actually dipping a prime beef sandwich into the, what they call that, the au jus.
Yeah.
There's no way to be at a ball game, is it?
What's that place here that you're supposed to go? What's that place in L.A.?
Philippe's.
Philippe's.
Yeah.
It's like going
but
to
But at
Philippe's
a ball
middle,
game, prime beef dip, how much do you think?
Okay, well, this is in Seattle, so we got to factor that in. It's also known as the Climate Pledge Arena. For real. That's like the name of the arena. And it's Amazon's so rich, they don't even need to put their name on it. They make it the Climate Pledge Arena. I'm all good for that, though. That's good. Save the environment. I would say Seattle pricing, I would say $18.50.
$24.
Yeah. Whoa. I was expecting way lower.
I was going to say $22.
Well, beef? You didn't say no, 22, so you don't get to claim that afterwards.
You. I'm not going to be rude and interrupt, you know?
Beef tenderloin sliders. Again, this is what you're eating at a hockey game. How much do you think?
Hockey game. Well, I'm going to say $18.50 again.
$18.50.
Is it right?
Jorge?
What's the item?
Beef tenderloin sliders.
Oof, $23.
$23. Bergman?
$25.75.
It's actually $22. But think about it. Have you ever bought an item for $22 at a
non-alcoholic
sporting event?
Honestly, $19 for the carne asada nachos at Dodger Stadium.
Is it $19?
Yeah, $19.
Yeah, that's money. That's real money. Now, they've got steak tartare.
Well, no, I would not eat that at a ball game. What are you talking about?
That's raw steak.
You're just like, please give me food poisoning.
They're serving raw steak. How about roasted bone marrow?
What?
Roasted bone marrow.
You get ossobuco too while you're at it? I mean,
that's like a real, do you spread it on the garlic bread or something? I mean, that's.
How much for an Aquafina, a little bottle of Aquafina?
$7.
$12.
$7. Oh, $7. Exactly right.
Right. All right. I'm getting my Seattle pricing down now.
How about, no, these are all, the beer prices are all about the same. The beer, a local craft can of beer.
Craft, so that adds like $10 to it right there.
Local, and it's a can. Oh, yeah. It's not a bottle.
$18.
$16.50.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but here's the thing I don't understand. They're supposed to be all environment conscious. And I'm pro-environment.
Yeah.
We need it. We need an environment to exist in and all
breathe.
That. Breathe air. Isn't one of the leading causes of climate change cows and factory farming and farting?
Yes, that is correct. You know, I would be curious, though, at the Climate Pledge Arena.
Excuse me.
If there's a carbon offset tax to that food.
But look,
maybe that's why the price is so much.
They're serving beef. Again, cow farts, big cause of climate change.
Watch, there'll be a carbon offset. Type that in.
Beef dip, beef tenderloin, steak tartare, roasted bone marrow. This is all beef.
Yeah.
How can it be a climate arena?
Yeah. You're right about it. I can't explain that to you. I think you're right. I can't defend them.
Yeah, Kraken Arena.
No, it's Arena. It's the Kraken is the name. I mean, they had the coolest new franchise branding and release ever when they were like, release the Kraken. That was so cool.
It was. What do you think? Mason doesn't like it. What do you think of the fans? They're called the Crackheads.
No, that's bad.
That's what they call themselves.
I don't like it. No, it's terrible. It's not, you don't joke about that.
Yeah, you shouldn't joke about people on crack.
That's what they choose.
They're not going by crackheads.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, no, they go by crackheads.
Well, you know what? Hey, your wheel of questions. The Kraken could totally beat Iron Man.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, the Kraken could. You're right.
Yeah, it's a good
mythical
sea monster
creature, but it could beat Iron Man. All right, now coming up next, in honor of Greg, I want to ask you.
Oh no!
Is so
what
great.
Is it? What are you doing?
I want to ask you.
Your book about?
About who the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL according to QBR.
Oh, QBR, Greg's favorite.
Oh, you're just a joke.
In your honor. Basically, it's who are the top 10 quarterbacks at this moment.
No, QBR. QBR
according
matters.
To QBR.
It's funny, I have something close to that in Jump Ball.
Cool, that is coming up next for you. Then we got Jump Ball coming up. And don't forget Momo.
Yeah.
Lie of the day.
Momo's a liar. I've been doing it all day. This is kind of fun.
I'm half guessing that you almost already told it.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. If you know the lie of the day at 3:30, we'll take three callers to give it a shot because it's tough. You win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. So that's coming up for you at 3:30. Game of games, it's Momo's game today. That means
hey,
disaster.
This may not be bad. I worked on this last night.
What's that about?
It's a World Series theme game, but it's not really about the actual teams. It's just about the cities. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked on it. It's all written out.
Nice.
Yeah, we have a tiebreaker. There's 9 questions.
You're not
going
to ramble?
I cannot promise that. I do talk a lot. As I said to Greg, I said to Greg in the break, I talk a lot, but I don't think I'm annoying. Is that right?
That was the right way you put it. Mm. It's true.
I got to think on that
Mace.
One.
No.
Think on that one.
Break time.
That's a think piece. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Never understood the words to this song, except for woke up this morning. You know this is the Sopranos theme, right, Momo?
Oh, yeah. This is.
Have you seen this? Have you watched the Sopranos?
The whole series, but I have not watched the Sons of Newark yet.
Okay.
So don't tell
me
what happens.
Saints of Newark is solid. Not spectacular, but solid. Now, Greg, you watched Sopranos, right?
I love Sopranos. It was amazing.
Jorge, what about you? No, probably
never.
Not.
No, yeah, I'm looking forward to it either.
No, I'm talking about the series, not the Many Saints
of Newark. Oh, Sopranos is amazing.
Sopranos is just amazing
show. It's
a
really good show.
Nah, I can't.
Wow.
So I've got Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarpa coming on the podcast in a couple of weeks, and I'm reading their book, The Definitive Oral History of the Sopranos, woke up this morning. And there are all kinds of nuggets in here. Like, for example, Stevie Van Zandt, who played Syl. You know, the hair and the, you know.
He's great.
He was originally going to play Tony Soprano.
I could see that.
Wow.
He's that type of guy.
I can't see anybody but James Gandolfini in that role.
Yeah.
And here's another one. Lorraine Bracco, who played Dr. Melfi.
Oh, she's.
Was supposed to play Carmella.
Really?
Yeah. And she said no.
Too.
She turned that down. She said, no, she wants to play a psychiatrist because you don't see, these are her, I'm approximating her words from the book. You don't see strong, intelligent Italian women very often on television. And she didn't want to play another role where she's sort of in the mob like she did in Goodfellas. So Lorraine Bracco was almost Carmella.
Wow. Edie Falco was so good as Carmella.
Edie Falco
was
so great.
One of my favorite scenes is when Edie Falco, when Carmella goes to Dr. Melfi, and she basically, I'm going to find the scene for you, Mace, because it's basically like she goes and tries to justify everything. And at the end of it, Dr. Melfi says, you know, at the end of this, you can, that's not how this works, because now you know. Like, you can never say that you didn't know who your husband was, right? And it's one of the best scenes of the whole. I mean, it pays off the entire series.
Well, it's because, you know, it's because Carmella, she enjoys the life, right?
Right. She's willfully
but
ignorant.
But she sort of ignores what's going on. That's sort of the
but
heart of what Carmella's about.
Yeah. But she knows.
Yeah, she knows all along. No question about it. My favorite character on the show was... who's the girlfriend? Michael. The girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, Michael's girlfriend. Yeah.
I thought they did her wrong.
Oh,
that was,
she
that was the most brutal scene in the entire show was when they found out, Christopher found out that she was informing with the mob, with the FBI.
Adriana.
And then she ended up shot in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Adriana,
don't,
there you
don't
go.
Don't ruin
Adriana.
It. That's a spoiler alert.
No, it's not. If you haven't watched Soprano, they just celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the first episode. A 20-year anniversary.
By the way, you have been dying to talk about Ted Lasso for so long. And I listen to you guys all the time when I'm driving home or when I'm driving around L.A. And you were like waiting. And I had not seen the last episode. And you were like, is the moratorium over? Is the moratorium over?
Yeah, did you watch the last episode?
Finally, I watched it, but I had to turn it off. When you said it, it was only like a week and a half after the first episode came out, or that episode came out, and I had to turn it off because I had not seen it yet. So I think the moratorium needs to extend 2 weeks from an episode.
That's too long.
That's too long. This final episode, I thought the final episode of Ted Lasso was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it.
Because it sets up Nate as being a real a-hole.
He's a
and
jerk.
Now we've got a bad guy. Her ex-husband and Nate, the a-hole, will be taking on AC Richmond next year. I think that's the one thing the show missed this year was a villain, a bad guy.
Yeah.
And Nate turned into the bad guy during the season. I'm not sure why. I don't know why Nate got so angry, but it's good that he's going to be the bad guy
but
next
year. But they really did develop that throughout the entire season. I thought that
I guess
good.
It was simmering. It was simmering.
As soon as Roy Kent came onto the coaching staff, you could see him just change completely. But at the same time, he was a jerk to the equipment
manager.
Yeah,
that was the part
the entire time.
Yeah, he was always a jerk
always
to him.
Always to him.
And that's the one guy he should have been nice to.
Right.
Because that was him last
year. That was his role, yeah.
So you could just see that building.
Favorite episode? The cursing one with Kent.
Oh, the cursing one with Kent, where the little girl curses.
Yeah. That was
Can we get ice cream? No.
Classic.
I like the one with the dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Where she had bad breath.
The bad breath. That was
Oh, another good one. Yeah.
That was the Christmas episode.
Are you guys up on Succession?
No.
Oh,
I can't keep up. I have all this work, and it was baseball playoffs, so that's just like cutting into my TV time.
Succession is so friggin' great.
I haven't even gotten to Billions. I haven't gotten back to Billions yet.
Yeah,
cut
right to Succession.
I know, so good.
There are so many good shows on right now.
Too many.
Succession
right now.
For me is the very best one.
Hey, going back to Ted Lasso for just a second.
Yeah.
Jamie Tart, he has the racing stripe in his eyebrow.
Yeah.
Is that what
Yeah.
Is that what you want? Is the racing stripe from like Jamie Tart?
We should do it
Tart?
All together.
We should all do it together. We should do the racing stripe.
You don't need to do that.
She's on TV. She's.
Oh yeah, you are on TV. You're the only one of us that are on TV. So.
Do you think Ireland will do the racing stripe?
He's not on TV. Why
he's not on TV?
Text him. How much? Racing
yeah, how much for a racing stripe? A racing stripe and dress up like Frankenfurter. We're just using John every which way today. All right, coming up next for you is Jump Ball. I didn't get to the QBR thing. I will, though. I promise, Greg, for you.
We're trying to push away from it. You didn't notice.
Yeah. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, let's start with some basketball. The Bulls are 4-0, and they look pretty damn fun, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But the greater part about them is that they have four starters, all from the local schools. Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine went to UCLA, and DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic went to USC. Really messed up with that fifth starter, though. Patrick Williams from Florida State. I mean, what do you find somebody from the Pac-12.
Find somebody from Southern California.
Seriously, let's just make this work. But they have been nicknamed the USCLA Bulls. What do you think of this nickname, and will you root for the Bulls as an Eastern Conference team, especially since they have the Bald Mamba?
Well, you just mentioned two Trojans.
Two Bruins, two Trojans.
Right, so why would it just be the UCLA Bulls if there are two Trojans?
Listen, USCLA.
Oh, USCLA.
Yeah, the USCLA Bruins, Bulls.
I kind of like it. I kind of like it. By the way, Alonzo makes everybody look better. Zach LaVine can always get his own shot. I mean, it's a nice looking team. You realize that's their first 4-0 start since Michael Jordan was wearing a Bulls uniform.
Do you know it's Zach LaVine's first 4-game win streak in his entire, like, he never had that at UCLA, never in the
Is
pros.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's because he came off the bench.
Yeah.
Ben Hallen refused to play him as a starter.
I don't like that nickname at all.
Why?
It's like way too complicated. It's the Bulls.
USCLA.
Whatever.
USCLA Bulls.
USCLA Bulls.
I don't know. You just don't have to make everything about LA. I mean,
yes,
there's so many
Wait
players
a minute, we're
in the
in
NBA.
LA.
Who
we
came
make
from
everything
LA.
About LA. It's our job to make everything about
there's
LA.
There's so many players in the league that came from either UCLA, SC, or just the greater Los
right,
Angeles
area.
Right,
but have to admit, it's really different if you've got two Bruins and two Trojans in your starting lineup.
Right, it's four players.
Do you know how
starting.
Many guys went to Kentucky that are in the same team? Like, there's so many of them.
You're ruining it, Momo.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're ruining the bit. The USCLA
You
Bulls.
Asked my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion.
Well, will
I
you root for them?
Stretch.
How about this? Will you root for them a little bit?
I personally like all of those players. I really am happy for Lonzo that he found a home and got paid and hits all his three-pointers now.
Sorry. Once the buzzer goes, you have to cease all conversation.
All right. It's time for a little fun with stats. This is just for you, Mace, because I didn't know you were going to do this to me, but I'm going to do it to you.
Okay.
Oh, this will get in your head.
All right, we are through 7 weeks of the season, and you love QBR, so I wanted to go with passer rating instead. So you can still do your QBR thing because they're different numbers and have different
meanings. No, they can't be much different.
They are different. Name me the top five quarterbacks with a minimum of 5 games played in terms of passer rating, not QBR.
Well, for sure it's Matthew Stafford.
Yep, he's on there. He's third with 116.7.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is not on the list.
What?
In terms of quarterback rating.
In terms of quarterback rating.
Okay, so that's one strike.
Kyler Murray. Passer rating.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray is second with 116.8.
How about, Momo, think about this a little bit.
Well, I mean, you're the one who probably knows since you already looked up QBR. It's probably
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is not on the list. See, they're very different.
I'm going to say Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is on the list with 115. So you have two strikes, two left, number one and number five.
Number one and number five. How are we not getting number one?
Okay, number one and where?
Remember,
we don't have number one.
It's a minimum of 5 games played.
Derek Carr.
Yeah, go Derek Carr.
Derek Carr is not on the
list right
now. So number one with 125.3 passer rating is Russell Wilson. And number five with 108.9 is Joe Burrow.
I wouldn't have got that either.
Joe Burrow. Look
He's
out
good.
For the Bengals, huh?
Yeah, Jamar Chase. Yeah.
Zach Taylor, another disciple of Sean McVay who's out there doing damage. The Bengals are really, really good. Jamar Chase has been great for them. Zach Taylor.
So no Lamar Jackson. See, the passer rating's gone, man. Lamar Jackson, awesome. No Mahomes.
Momo, you getting the drift here?
Yes. Matt Ryan, no. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
You got all these great quarterbacks I'd rather have.
Before she starts naming more quarterbacks, just move ahead. All right.
Tom Brady's not on the list. These are dumb lists.
We get it.
Speaking of Tom Brady, we all know that by now we all know he threw his 600 career touchdown pass to Mike Evans. And Mike Evans gave away the ball. Now, the fan who got the ball, once he gave it back, it was estimated that ball was going to be $500,000.
What?
Yeah, if you auctioned it off, it was going to be worth between $500,000 and $750,000. Now, they asked for the ball back. What would you ask for in return for the ball if you knew that was going to be the price that it would auction off for?
So the guy that got the ball
was
named Byron Kennedy. And Brady said, I was going to do this a little later in the show, Brady said that it was a tough negotiation. And in the end, it was two signed Tom Brady jerseys, a Tom Brady signed helmet, and then a jersey autographed by Mike Evans and a Mike Evans game worn cleats. That's what
they
ultimately settled for. Now, tell me if this is real or not. I would have just given them the ball. I wouldn't have asked for anything.
I think I would
have said, you know what, Tom Brady, 600 touchdown
passes.
This
is your accomplishment. I was
Here
just the
is
guy
the football.
He handed the ball to.
And, you know, Tom Brady would have given you something no matter what for being a good guy. So I would have just been a good guy and given the ball back. What about you, Momo?
Yeah, me too. I would have just given the ball back. It's his accomplishment, not yours. You just happened to be standing there when Mike Evans gave you the ball. Like, it's not your ball. It's one thing if you're a fan and you catch a home run. That was like you had to do something. You had to catch it. And that's a big deal. Like, you know, you break your hand that way, right? You got to have some little bit of skill. So I think you give the ball back. And I would probably just do it for tickets or something. I mean, I wouldn't even ask for anything.
I wouldn't ask for anything. Tom Brady would give you stuff.
Yeah.
No matter what, just for being a good guy and being a reasonable person. Greg, would you hold out for more?
I mean, I would give it back. But I think if I was to hold off, I would ask for lifetime season tickets.
Oh, God.
Come on, man.
They're never going to give you lifetime
season
tickets.
They gave this guy season tickets for the rest of this year and next year.
That's
Why
good.
Wouldn't they give you lifetime?
I would do it for a jersey, signed jersey, and a picture. That's it.
I bet you he would give you a bunch of stuff.
Anyway.
Just because you gave it back.
Yeah, agreed.
So I would have been the good guy. I would have been the nice guy. I'm being honest here. I would just hand the ball back to Tom Brady and say, congratulations, man. You earned this.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so
the right answer is Bitcoin.
Yeah, give me Bitcoin. And the buzzer sounded.
Stop. You make me question myself.
So there are three teams still in the NBA that are undefeated. The Bulls are 4-0, the Warriors are 3-0, the Jazz are 3-0 as well. So who stays undefeated the longest of the three? Momo?
I don't know their schedules.
Oh, no, just off the, just like thinking just about the teams. Yeah, like which team you think has the best chance to stay undefeated?
I'll say the Jazz. I don't know their schedules, but that should answer it.
I agree. I think it will be the Jazz. And again, we're flying blind because we don't know like who they've got coming up on their schedule. But I think of those three teams, the Jazz are the best team.
The Warriors.
I mean, but they always make them play hard teams all the time to be on national TV.
I'm not buying. I'm still not buying on Warriors.
I think the Bulls. Like, I'm actually really impressed with what this team
they've
looks
played
like. And they're
Detroit
in the East.
Detroit twice and the Toronto. I mean, they haven't played anybody yet.
Yeah, but I mean, they're also a team that, because they're in the East, most of the teams in the East are not really that good. I mean, even Boston right now looks terrible. So if they happen to play
Boston
them.
Boston just beat Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't.
And Charlotte, right. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it probably won't be the Jazz.
Why? Who do they play next?
They've got Denver. I think Denver's really good.
That's always
a
good
Jokic is fantastic. And that's at Houston, that's a win. At Chicago, so we may get a battle of the undefeateds. And then the Jazz are at Milwaukee. I think that's a pretty rugged stretch. It may be the Bulls.
Who was it? Someone just
dunked. USCLA Bulls.
The USCLA Bulls.
Lauri Markkanen dunked
on Jokic last night, and it was a beast of a dunk, too. It was
yeah,
nice.
But and it's like Jokic isn't known for his rim protection.
No, that is not what he's known for. But still, you don't want to be on the other side of a poster.
He's still scoring 28 a game.
Yeah, because he's very good. All right, so we've talked about the Lakers.
28 and 16.
You heard the buzzer.
Okay.
So we've talked about the Lakers.
Because I haven't played anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, enough of the buzzer.
So we've talked about the Lakers' victory over the Bulls on Sunday, but we didn't talk about one part. Zaire Williamson was on the floor for the Grizz, and Zaire was just over a year ago was a teammate of Bronny's in high school.
Mm.
If that doesn't make you feel old, I don't know what will. But so what was your moment that you said, oh, my God, I'm old?
Boy, I don't think I've had it yet.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. That was set up perfectly for that.
I've had that moment at all. Momo, what about you?
My I'm old moment?
Yeah.
I think it's probably when players that I covered in high school made it all the way to the NBA, retired, and then became coaches. Like, that'll get you. So for me, it would be like... Like, I covered Jordan Farmar in high school. I covered Gilbert Arenas when he's in high school. Like, they're, like, long since retired. Right? So, that's probably... Darren Collison had him at UCLA. He's retired now. I mean, that when you go through a player's entire career...
Right.
And then they retire. You're like, okay. Yeah, I'm guessing.
I think the true moment was when my nephew, Hunter Mashonsky... down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, who's now works as like a money management guy, offered to manage my money for me.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Like, my nephew, that little kid, that baby is now old enough to say, let me manage your money.
Did you let him do it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way, right? No
totally
chance. Right?
He was still only 24 years old.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want a money manager that's 24 years old. I wouldn't say he's been around the block a couple times. What about you, Greg? Have you had a moment like that?
I mean, whether it's...
How old are you?
I'm 37, 30.
Yeah, me too.
38?
Ish. 38.
Ish. 38, yeah, somewhere right around there.
You and LeBron, about the same age.
Very close.
It's your age 37 season.
Yeah, it's my 30, age 38 season, yeah. But no, I think when, I mean, I wake up and I'm in pain, that does a little bit to me where I think that I'm getting a little bit older. I can't eat whatever I want to anymore, so I'm fat now. Like, that makes
you
me feel a little
fat. Bit... I will agree with you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Body positive.
Yeah.
For me, I guess, like, work-wise, it was when I could not pull all-nighters anymore.
Yeah, I'm asleep
by,
like, 10.
I'm a champion all-nighter
old
girl. I can get hyped. I just put on some music. I do jumping jacks. I can get going. And, like, there came a point in the last few years it just didn't happen.
Bergman, to your point, I'm asleep by 10 every night.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, asleep by 10 every single
10?
Night.
Easily 10?
Easily in bed by 9:30.
What happens if the game goes late?
I'll stay up and watch the game.
I'll stay up and watch. That's the exception. I'll watch the game. Like, these are nice games. These next
7
couple
p.m.
games are
nice
because they're early.
Yeah.
I love an early game. I love when they go back east because the early games are really, really cool because then you can watch something afterwards. But no, I'll stay awake for a game. But other than that, good night by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And in bed, probably by 8:30.
Wow.
I watch all my TV in bed.
This is against my religion. Like this will be the thing I fight the longest.
It's staying up late?
Yes.
I must make it to midnight.
Like Jimmy Fallon is a rumor to me. Jimmy Kimmel is a rumor to me. I can't remember the last time I saw one of their shows.
Do you know,
I see clips.
I often go swimming or for a walk at 11 p.m.
Oh, that's nuts.
That's too late.
At 11 p.m. Like, I'm just getting going. The night is young.
Well, and you guys know there's a certain point. During the baseball playoffs, I'm completely textable, right? We were texting back and forth through the entire baseball playoffs with the Dodgers. But generally speaking, I'm completely rock and stone by 8, and I am not texting you back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
So does that mean that when we're watching the Laker game tonight, you're not going to be texting?
It's early.
No, because it's early.
No, so we will. Oh, we actually will.
Early game. No, we can text during the Lakers game tonight because it's early. Yeah. Lakers, by the way, coming up versus San Antonio. We got that game for you this afternoon. Thank you very much, Jorge. We've got news. Well, we've been reporting news all day long that LeBron James has been downgraded from probable to questionable. By the way, one other nugget there is that Wayne Ellington, who has yet to play for the Lakers, has been upgraded to questionable. So it's possible that we'll see Wayne Ellington for the first time.
That's good.
With the Lakers. He's a great shooter. Not as good a defender as Bazemore, but a really good shooter.
Yeah, Bazemore did a great job on John Morant the other day.
Excellent job. Yeah, fantastic.
Dude had 40.
He only went for 40. Held him down. Held him down. All right, coming up next, I actually saw a great movie I want to tell you about.
Yeah?
Watched it last night. Fantastic. And it reminds me of one of my great heroes in life. That's coming up next for you. Plus, I promised we would get to this megacast idea. I really want to do this. We'll talk about that coming up next, too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.